Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Summer Tabernacle Live. Welcome to the Taylor family and all of our friends joining through Facebook and YouTube Live. We are streaming from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, where Elder Jonathan E. Ford is our pastor.
Good morning. Today I will be reading Psalm 56:3. When I am afraid, I put my trust in Him. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of His Word.
Good morning. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to You thanking You for Your grace, mercy, and protection every day that we live. Lord, help us to worship You this morning with an undistracted heart. Help us to focus on Your word this morning in order to strengthen our spirit and walking on a righteous path. Lord, I ask that You speak new life into Your children and give us the wisdom to understand. Lord, I ask that You strengthen the weak, bind up anything that has been set up against Your children in the name of Jesus. Lord, guide us and watch over us. We thank You for everything. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen.
Good morning, Taylor and friends. For this is the day that the Lord has made. We shall rejoice and be glad in it. So happy that you decided to join in with us this morning. Amen. Amen. Here we are, 24 weeks later, still thriving through this pandemic, broadcasting our Sunday morning worship virtually. Conference calls, Bible study, and Zoom business meetings. But I thank God for this opportunity to connect and communicate with you this morning. For those of you that know me, know that I always start with a short intro. So I'm asking the Holy Spirit to open up your heart so that you may hear what the Lord is speaking. Amen. It has been said that human beings can live for 30 to 40 days without food, 3 to 4 days without water, and 3 to 4 minutes without air. But we cannot live for more than 4 seconds without hope. A neuroscientist suggested that hope is so essential to our survival that it is hardwired to our brains, and it can be the difference between living a healthier life and a life trapped by the despair called, because hope is essential. This coronavirus pandemic has blinded us all. The unknown and uncontrollable danger has caused panic, fear, and vulnerability to all. I'm pretty sure these same emotions are what we feel in our own personal storms in life. Amen. But I'm here to remind you that Jesus is in this storm with us and always in control. Amen. In the book of Mark, chapter 4, Jesus and his disciples encountered a furious storm that almost overtook their boat. Several of the disciples understood the sea and the seriousness of this specific storm because they fished for a living. The waves were consuming the boat. They were about to die, and Jesus was asleep. The disciples woke him up asking him this. He's concerned about his life or theirs. Jesus speaks to the storm and immediately it stops. Then he asks them, why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith after all the miracles Jesus performed? They walked with him and still did not realize the power they had in Jesus. The disciples never expected Jesus to do anything about the storm. They wanted to know how he could stay asleep with the possibility of them drowning. They saw their future was hopeless. Why? Because they gave into dying on that boat. There was no fear in Jesus Christ. The disciples' fear and lack of control of the boat caused panic, not realizing that Jesus was in control of the storm. We are living in a time where we are redefining what is essential. Certain personnel keeps our society going. They're essential. Making sure they have appropriate PPE, that's essential. Standing at least 6 feet apart and washing our hands, that's essential. Finding a vaccine for this virus is definitely essential. Yes, essential workers are vital, but hope is our confident expectation of what God promised. Hope is having strength to trust, to wait, to be confident in God, that sometimes good is going to happen at any moment in your life. Deuteronomy 31:6 tells us to be strong and of good courage. Do not fear nor be afraid of them. For the Lord your God, he is the one who goes with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. Amen. As we transition to our text, comfortable in an uncomfortable situation, this morning I'd like to focus on Jonah's prayer. Let's turn our attention to Jonah 2, and I'll be reading 1 to 10. From inside the fish, Jonah prayed to the Lord his God. He asked, "In my distress, I called to the Lord, and he answered me. From the depths of the grave, I called for help, and you listened to my cry. You hurled me into this deep, into the very heart of the seas, and the current swirled about me. All your waves and breakers swept over me. I said, I have been banished from your sight, yet I will look again toward your holy temple. The engulfing waters threatened me. The deep surrounded me. Seaweed was wrapped around my head. The roots of the mountain, I sat down. The earth beneath barred me in forever. But you brought me up, brought my life up from, the pit, oh Lord, my God. When my life was ebbing away, I remembered you, Lord, and my prayers rose to you, to your holy temple. Those who cling to worthless idols turn away from God's love for them. But I, with a song of thanksgiving, will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will make good. Salvation comes from the Lord. And the Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto dry land. Let us pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus, I thank you once again for the opportunity to speak to your people. I need you now, Father God, to use me for your glory. God, I ask that you send down the power of your Holy Spirit so that I may preach and teach with clarity to set someone free and to get their hope back. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Amen. I'm sure we've all heard the story about Jonah and the well at some point in our life, whether it was from a childhood Sunday school lesson, vacation Bible school, or preached lesson, or a preached sermon. Chapter 1 tells us about Jonah's disobedience and how he ran from God because he didn't want to go and preach to the people of Nineveh. Jonah was a Hebrew prophet, the son of Amittai, who was sent by God to prophesy the destruction of Nineveh, but he tried to flee from his divine mission. Our nature is to run or hide when we rebel, but how many of you know that God knows everything? And you can't outrun God or the call he's placed on your life. This rebellious prophet was prejudiced and unforgiving toward the people of Nineveh. Jonah knew the power of God's word. He knew of God's compassion and didn't want the pagan people to experience God's forgiveness. Prophet Jonah was self-righteous and judgmental. He was so full of himself. He wanted them, the people of Nineveh, to be dealt with according to their wickedness. Surprisingly, I found myself feeling like Jonah a couple of months ago. Yes, this woman of God wanted some people to suffer at the hands of God. I was drowning in my distress. My heart was crushed. And like Jonah, forgiveness was not a possibility. My state of mind was growing dark. My spirit man was struggling to find hope in this very uncomfortable situation. My heart, this heart of Christian compassion, was rapidly hardening. I trusted God, but I couldn't see how this situation was going to work out for my good. And that favorite question, why God? Why me? I was fighting so hard not to ask him. No one likes pain. We don't like to struggle. But God and his infinite ways cause us to discomfort to show us his sovereignty. Yes, our Lord takes away comfort to open our eyes to his sovereignty. Without difficulty, we cannot become who God wants us to be. God will put you in a season of prayer with those uncomfortable feelings. You know, those feelings you feel throughout every inch of your being. But the Comforter will give us peace in the midst of our trials. And we can rest only if our mind is stayed on him. God sends storms in our life to teach us or correct us with struggles in our heart. Yes, he allows things around us to shut down so that the Holy Spirit who lives in us can come alive. Amen? When you pray, as Sister Christina told us last Friday, be intentional in prayer and ask God, what are you trying to teach me or show me through this storm? Amen? And Jonah landed in the belly of a big fish. Jonah was praising God for his deliverance before he was delivered. I'm going to repeat that again, just in case you missed it. Jonah was praying, was praising God for his deliverance before he was delivered. He cried for God to have mercy on him. Keep in mind that Jonah's distress was the time he spent in the water, when he was sinking to the bottom of the ocean, not the time he spent in the fish's belly. In his distress, he called out to God, and the Bible says, he heard me. God was listening. Jonah thought he was going to die, but God was gracious and provided protection. God had mercy on his prophet, and we serve a merciful God. Amen. The fish came after Jonah's cry of distress. Jonah remembered that the God he served was compassionate, loving, and slow to anger. God answers us in spite of our guilt. He answers us and delivers us from impossible circumstances. He always answers us in a nick of time. And sometimes he answers us in stages that aren't always comfortable. But however he answers is to make us more merciful like him. Jonah prayed to God from inside this great fish. That was his sanctuary. The fish belly was his prayer closet, a place where he encountered God. He was desperate. He was pleading with God to forgive him and remove him from the fish. We are never so far down that God doesn't hear our prayers. Proverbs 15:3 says, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. God sees all things and knows our hearts. Amen. But Jonah thought he was running from God. The enemy wants us to feel that our sin of disobedience disqualifies us from God's grace. You got to rebuke the devil because he is a liar. Jonah shows us how God's forgiveness really is. He found salvation through faith and repentance. Amen. Psalms 18:6 says, in my distress, I called thee and cried out to my God. He heard my voice from his temple. Imagine a lost child, lost in a store, crying for his mama, and mama answers the call. That baby knows everything is going to be all right. Amen. In verses 3-7, Jonah expresses his trouble and crying to our faithful God. Jonah realized that it was God himself who cast him into the sea. For you cast me into the deep. A few verses up, it says, the sailors picked him up and threw him into the sea. But Jonah wants us to know that God is sovereign. And he was in complete control of this situation. It was God's plan for this to happen. The pagan sailors that threw him into the sea became worshipers of God. Amen. Jonah was always in God's hand. God used the sea as his hand of correction. And the fish was his protection, a type of safe haven from the sea. In my study, I found this passage that stated, he was tangled in weeds, which symbolized the cares of this world. He was a victim of his own making. There was no way to come out of this or life's other entanglements without God. I'm going to repeat that. There was no way to come out of this or life's other entanglements without God. He is our only hope. I have to admit, when I seen the word entanglement, I thought of Jada and Will Smith. And I'm going to leave that alone. Amen. Amen. And amen. Jonah had given up all hope of life. Earlier, I stated that we cannot live for 4 seconds without hope. God did not want Jonah to die. He held the creatures of the sea at bay. Jonah's devastation was feeling separated from God. Not so much the distress from the sea, that feeling of being cast out of your sight in verse 4 was unbearable. Jonah was feeling vulnerable and fearful at the very thought that God could not see him. Even in the belly of the fish, Jonah remembered the Lord. At his lowest point, he prayed. He moaned, groaned, cried with assurance that God would answer him. Amen. Thank him for his mercy on you. Thank him for having mercy on you. I thank him for new mercies that we don't deserve. Amen. This faith walk and being obedient is not comfortable at times. But when you learn to trust God and surrender to the uncomfortable, it will help you find peace in the midst of your storm. Jonah was comfortable in a very uncomfortable situation. He was in the belly of a fish, praying and worshiping in his sanctuary. He realized his complete dependence on God. God's word will cleanse you in your filthy state. Glory be to God. Even in our disobedience, our God is still merciful toward us. Amen. We all should be grateful and thankful for God's compassion and love for us. Because when I think of his goodness, and all that he has done for me, my soul shouts, hallelujah, hallelujah. I thank God for saving this wretched soul. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. God never forsakes us. Thank God for second chances. Jonah realized in his prayer that running from God and resisting to do what he was told was like being an idolater. Verses 8 to 9 says, those who regard worthless idols forsake their own mercy, but I will sacrifice to you. Jonah repented from running from God, and he began to give thanks. He realized he left a God of mercy. He abandoned his mercy treasure. Just think of a treasure chest full of mercy for you. Glory be to God. Jonah had to humble himself. Jonah had to humble himself. I had to humble myself in prayer, asking God to help me to pray for those who betrayed me, told lies on me, trying to stain my character. I felt abandoned, and my heart was crushed. James 10 says, humble yourself before the Lord, and he will lift you up. This verse gave me strength to pray for a daughter that literally walked out of my life and is present, acting as though I never existed in her life or been a part of her family. I can only imagine the pain God feels when we walk away from him. I had to dig deep. There was no room for pride. Even though I felt unjust, I needed God's help. I wanted deliverance. Every thought of unforgiveness, I would confess. My confession shifted everything. I'm learning that when God wants growth, he makes you uncomfortable. Amen. Jonah vowed to do whatever God told him to do. And when we break those vows, we should always be ready to thank him for his grace and mercy. Amen. Praise him, saints. When praises go up, hallelujah, blessings come down. Jonah knows that being alive is only because of God's divine grace and favor for him. God will do whatever it takes to awaken our sinful hearts. To bring us back. That is why I wholeheartedly believe we need to examine ourselves periodically to see if we have drifted from God. Mere hurt will lead you into a hole that will slowly bury you alive. Sometimes we need to ask ourselves, how often am I being an idolater? What? Yes. Running from God and resisting Him is like being an idolater. You see, the good things God has blessed us with, we sometimes turn them into bad things. It could be our jobs, money, our children, doing any and everything to make them happy. I've heard some people say, there's a reason why I live. As parents, our job is to raise and train them in the Word of God and prepare them for life. Not making them happy all the time so they'll like you more. Making them happy is great, but when it's your primary focus, it interferes with your relationship with God. And we all know that God demands to be first. One of the commandments tells us that we are to have no other gods before Him. Amen? Jonah had a change of heart as he began to praise God in verse 9. Inside the belly of the big fish, Jonah is singing praises to God. And he promises when he gets out, he will offer up sacrifices. How about that for being comfortable in an uncomfortable situation? In the Old Testament, offering a sacrifice served many purposes. It was a way to cleanse yourself of your sins to reconcile with God. Jonah was a type of Christ. They're both from Galilee. They both were willing to die for people. They slept in a boat during a storm. And they preached, and Jews refused, and Gentiles accepted them. Matthew 12:40 says, for as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of a great fish, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. Glory be to God. Jonah repented and offered thanksgiving for God's grace. He wanted to get himself back right with God. He realized that God's mercy and forgiveness is for all people. God's mercy and His forgiveness is for all people. Amen. True repentance requires change. I enjoy Joyce Meyer's ministry. She said that if you take a stand and live godly and live a godly life, people are convicted by your life and come against you. 2 Timothy 3:12 tells us that everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. Today, you and I can repent of our sins and know that Jesus, our Lord and Savior, stood in place as our sacrifice. He washes us clean from our sin so that God sees us blameless in His sight. Amen. Once Jonah surrendered and submitted to God, our God spoke to the fish and it vomited him on dry land. Now that's something to shout about. Amen. Dry land. His prayer was answered and the fish vomited him out on dry land. Hallelujah. In my closing, this message was not just for you, but it was for me too. As I studied, I realized so much of what I was going through mirrored this message. I had so much pain in my heart. I felt like Jonah. I wanted God to get them. I had to seek His face. Some days I literally crawled into my prayer closet to confess and repent for my faith to be renewed, Taylor. God will cause you to be uncomfortable sometimes to bring someone to Christ. Amen. Jonah was thrown overboard, and the pagan sailors began to worship God. The latter chapters, we find out that the Ninevites answered the call, and they were spared judgment. Amen. God couldn't use Jonah when his heart was angry at the people. I had to meditate on Luke 6, 27, and 8 daily. I mean, every day. Love your enemies and do good to those who hate you, and bless those who curse you, and pray for those who abuse you. I would tell God, I can't right now. But he would quietly say, yes, Lillian, you can. Just trust me. At first, I was going through the motions. And one night, hallelujah, hallelujah, all the tears dried up. I felt his loving arms comforting me once again. But this time, it was different. I heard him softly say, abide. Abide. The presence of the Lord was with me. I just remember repeating, abide, over and over and over again. I wanted his presence to stay with me. The calmness I will never forget. Never. Abide in me, and I will abide in you. I was delivered, and my heart was at peace. Amen. And a song of thanksgiving ushered me to a place of contentment during my difficult time. Marvin said, sing the song. I'm not singing. And it says, I thank you for it all. The good, bad, the ugly, great and small. The times of victory and when I fall. I'm so grateful that I'm still standing tall. I thank you for my tears. The pain helped me overcome my fears. You've been good to me down throughout the years. It's a miracle that I'm still standing here. All that I am is because of you. And everything I survive is all because of you. How can I say thank you for all the ways you made for me, the doors you opened, the times you were there, always making a way for me? I cannot express the gratitude that I feel for you right now, so I have to pause for a moment right now and say thank you. So my question to you this morning is, are you still running? Because of anger, past hurts, unforgiveness, being mistreated, or you backslid, thinking no one would understand. Give it to Jesus. He's the only one who could handle your struggles. Stop complaining and give your situation to God. He wants to be Lord of your life. Give it to God. Give it to God and stop worrying. Stop losing sleep and thank him for keeping you in your right mind. Thank him for still loving you in spite of you. I know it hurts and I know you're angry, but you got to give it to God. You have to give it to him. I know you don't understand, but he does. Give it to Jesus. Give it to Jesus. No matter what storm is in your life, give it to Jesus. He'll give you rest and he'll give you peace. Give your uncomfortable to God. Stop running and believe. Amen. And God bless you. at this time. We're going to have the call to salvation. If you would like to receive Christ today, please repeat after me. Dear Lord, I know that I am a sinner. I know that I deserve the consequences of my sin. However, I am trusting in Jesus Christ as my Savior. I believe that His shed blood, death, and resurrection provided for my forgiveness. I trust in Jesus. And Jesus alone as my personal Savior, as my personal Lord and Savior. Thank you, Lord, for saving and forgiving me from my sins today. Amen. Also, please visit our website and go to our church. And go to our contact page and check the box, I am interested in becoming a Christian. And leave us a short message along with your contact information. And someone from our staff will contact you to discuss the next steps in your Christian journey. And at this time, we're going to turn the rest of the service over to Sister Barbara.
See all the chat on the line. Hey, it's offering time. It's offering time. It's time to give unto God that which He has given to us this morning. Amen. Amen. You can give to us one of three ways, via text, via our website, or via U.S. mail. If you're going to text, the instructions are as follows. You can text the code TAYLOR61 to the number 73256, and you will be given an instruction link to follow to finish your giving. If you're going to give via our website, go to TAYLORTABERNACLE.com/giving and follow those instructions. You can also give via U.S. mail, and our address is, please send check or money order. Do not send cash through the U.S. mail, and that address is Taylor Tabernacle, P.O. Box 6309, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19139. As always, we thank you so much for supporting our ministry. Amen. We're going to go right into our announcements. Hey, we are still in the middle of Turning the Tide and United Way campaign. Turning the Tide is an outreach ministry of Taylor Tabernacle, and as the church has been closed, so is the Turning the Tide Center due to the corona outbreak. However, we've begun planning the reopening for Turning the Tide as well as the church. The pastor is asking all members to support us. If you work for an employer that has a United the Way campaign drive, please consider giving and supporting Turning the Tide. Our number for the United Way campaign is 46030. For those who want to support and do not have a United Way through their employer, you may send it directly to us through Turning the Tide, P.O. Box 6309, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19139. Hey, I wish I had a drum roll. You guys know how I like my drum roll. We are beginning to plan the reopening of the tabernacle. Amen. Amen. I can hear the cheers and the shouts. We are so excited about that. We have a planning committee in place. That's our sister Cassandra McCoy, our sister Shanita Scott, and our sister Zakiya Price. We want what you can do to help with this effort. We need each and every member of the tabernacle and our friends as well to pray for a successful reopening. This is a grand undertaking, as we've seen in the news. There's some hitches here and there when they've opened schools and colleges. So we're praying for a smooth reopening of the tabernacle, and that can only happen if we go down and go to God in prayer and ask him to help us and guide us for every step of the reopening of the tabernacle. The exact date has not been determined as yet, but it will be announced at a later date. Hey, Friday night prayer and Bible study. Let's give a hand to our young adults. They did an outstanding job for the month of August. This coming Friday night, we'll be back on the conference call line. Hey, grab a pen and pencil, and that number, the same as it's been for the last 3 months or so, 775-799-9141. We'll meet you on Friday night for prayer and Bible study. Hey, if you have a prayer request, please visit our website, www.taylortabernacle.com, and go to our prayer request page, or call the church at 215-748-4578 and leave a voicemail so we can respond to you. Sunday morning worship will continue next Sunday, 10 a.m. via live stream, via YouTube and Facebook. We look forward to it each week on Sunday, August 6th. As always, it is first Sunday in September, Pastor Jonathan Ford will be leading us, and we will be having Holy Communion. So please, ma'am, please, sir, have your juice and your cracker or bread ready at the beginning of service, and we look forward to dining with the Lord. Hey, remember to hit subscribe right there on your YouTube page or follow us on Facebook at Taylor Tabernacle so you can be informed of all updates, any upcoming gatherings that we're going to have. If you're not receiving our weekly email, please send us your new email address, and we will add you to our list. Now, back to our Deaconess Lillian Davis-Jones for our benediction. Have a blessed remainder of the day.
Amen. Thank you, Sister Barb. And thank you for being with us this morning. We're going to close out in prayer. Amen. Father God, we thank you for your word. May it encourage our hearts and strengthen us for the challenges we face. Help us to show love and be the light that will draw the unseen. Be with our children and keep them safe as some return back to school, and help the virtual students to focus at home. I'm asking prayer for Christina, for traveling mercies, Lord, as she traveled back to school. Protect her and others from every danger on the road, and bring her safely to her destination. Bless our pastor and his family, and bless every household that was able to tune in with us this morning. We give you all the glory and honor to you. Amen.
Amen.
Have a blessed day, everyone.